Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 204, What's in Your House? Guest Minister Colleen Doyle delivered this message on Saturday, July 17th, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Oh, I love it when God touches people. Isn't it exciting?
Yes, amen.
If you've got your Bibles tonight, please open them up to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Really, I'm much more comfortable on this side, so I'm coming around here. Is that all right, Pastor? Thanks. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." What a terrible moment for her. Elisha said to her, "How can I help you?" Took a breath. "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" You could think that's rude, asking two questions without giving her a chance to answer. But God had a purpose in that. And then she said, "Your servant has nothing there at all." Except a little jar of oil. I just remembered. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." And he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." What a cool story. That's a really cool story. Yes?
Yes.
We agree. Notes. Hey, life's not fair. It wasn't fair to her. Here she is, in the community, a woman of some standing. My husband is in the company of the prophets. She was famous by association, famous by marriage. And then he goes and dies. She loses so much. And he didn't only die, he left her with debt that she couldn't pay. So in those days, whatever you have of value is mine if you owe me money. And the only thing she had of value was her sons. Oh my, what a loss. She lost her standing. She lost her importance. And now she's going to lose her sons. Life's not fair. Who has discovered that besides me? Oh, yes. And it wasn't her fault. So it's even less fair when it's not your fault. Woe is me. Poor me. I might as well curl up in a ball and die. It's easy to think that when life's not fair. But she was wise. She knew what to do. She knew what to do. She was in great hardship. But as we have read that story, we can see that that hardship prepared her for something incredible. And you know, when we're in hardship, it's very difficult to see beyond the now and the tragedy and the difficulty of now and the loss that I'm experiencing now, isn't it? I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to look in my wardrobe and see my clothes and not have any idea what would match together. Such was the loss in my life. Hardship, and it wasn't fair, and it wasn't my fault, but I was in it. And I had a choice. What do I do? Do I get into bed and pull the covers over my head and stay there for the next 27 years? Or do I do something? She made the choice to do something. She wanted to hear, what's God's answer for this? This story is about a woman with seven verses of the Bible dedicated to her. She wasn't even named the woman of the man who was in the company of the prophets. Not even important enough to have her name mentioned. You know, a lot of us walk through life like that. We think we're a no-name. Hello, you're not a no-name. You're not a no-name. No matter what life has dealt you, no matter what circumstances you find you're in, no matter what losses that you have experienced, no matter anything about your life, whether you are or were married to someone famous, because you have a name, and it's the name of Jesus in you if you have given your life to him. And she was as important enough for God to dedicate seven verses of the Bible to a no-name. But you, your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in heaven. So don't go through life any longer thinking you're a no-name, because you are not. And those of you that have said in your heart and in your life, I'm nobody, I'm not important, nobody cares, I'm nothing, I rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. Because that's a lie. Yes. And people that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, there's a lot of you. And I say in the name of Jesus, if you have given your life to him, you are a child of the King. Your name is written in the book of life. You are important. You are treasured. You are noted and notable because of Jesus. And so here we have this woman. She knew where to go in her time of distress. She went and found Elisha, the prophet. Because in those days, that's where the word of the Lord came from. What do we do in our times of loss and distress? Go to Facebook? Do we go to Facebook? You can go to Facebook to watch these lives, but don't go to Facebook to find the answers for your life, because it's not there. Go to the courts. Some people do. What do we do? Do you go nah, to your friend on the phone? This woman knew where to go to find the word of the Lord. We have such a wealth of the word of God. We've all got Bibles. We all know that we can come directly to the Father in the name of Jesus and talk to him in our times of distress and trouble. You have a church family that love you, that will embrace you and speak with you in your times of distress. Don't go anywhere else. People go to the pub. People go to prostitutes. People go to pornography. People go to all sorts of dark and dingy places in their time of trouble. To alcohol and did I say drugs?
Say it again.
Say it again. People go to drugs. There is no answers in those things and those places. It is a path to certain destruction, my friends. Facebook, those things are a path to certain destruction. Jesus, the word of God, the power of God, the house of God is the place to go when you're in trouble. So this lady knew to go to the prophet. And she said to him, I'm in trouble. I need you to help me. She cried out. She didn't just go saying, I need you to help me. She cried out with passion. And she got her answer. She said, they're coming to take my boys. He was instant in his response to her. How can I help you? What have you got in your house? He didn't wait for her answer to the first question because she would have said, I don't know, I'm hopeless. I've lost all hope. I can't do it anymore. My boys are going. I'm destitute. I'm lost. She would have gone negative, 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 negative. Right? Because it looked like that. But then he brings a positive right on top of his question that would have said, that would have reaped a negative answer from her. What have you got in your house? She did fall into the negative trap. Nothing. Hold on a minute. I remember. I've got a little jar of oil. I put it in the back of the cupboard in case of emergency one day. And she said, I have this. I have this. And you know, when people are desperate, there's two responses that they may, there's two ways they may respond. One is run away from God, where the answer is. Number two is run to God. And if you're in the sound of my voice or in this room tonight, and you just don't know what to do, and you have got your running shoes on, and you're running away from God, get those running shoes off and turn around and run to God, because that is where the answers to all the issues of life are. This woman knew where to go to the prophet. And so she said, I've got this little jar of oil. Her first response was one of negativity. And in those times, I know I'm the same. We see the lack. I've got nothing, but not the potential. And that's very human, and that's okay. But God will bring us to the place where, in that time, we see the potential of this, of these situations. It took me some time to actually see that I was somebody that God valued and loved after my life fell apart, and that he would use me to preach again, and that I would go to the nations again, and that I was loved and lovable and accepted and acceptable. But after a major rejection, those things are not in the forefront of your mind. And some of you will know what I mean. And so, what have you got in your house? And this can be a question that God poses to us in dreadful times. But it can be also a question that he poses to us along our Christian walk as well. What have you got? What is in your house? What is in there? Well, she said nothing but. And we are like that. We very quickly look on the things we're not good at. Am I right? We very quickly to bring our faults and our failings and our negative things about us to the fore before we say the positives. Because that is interpreted as pride. But I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit actually said to me one day, if you don't declare who I am in you and what I do through you, you're actually denying me. What have you got in your house? Don't deny the amazing work that God is doing in you and the giftings that he has put in you. It's actually not humility not to do that if you have the reason to answer a question like that. You got it? Have you got it? What have you got in your house? What have you got in your house? What about the one glimmer of hope that's there? What about that mustard seed of faith that the word says you all have? I had a time when I wasn't even sure if I had a mustard seed. But God said he put it there, so by faith I said, I have got that. What about the anointing that you have experienced from time to time or often? What about the gift of God that someone prophesied over you once and it's kind of laying there dormant. What about anything positive that is in you, that has worked through you at any time? We quickly say, I've got nothing. But I think God wants us to actually acknowledge what we have in our house. What have you got in your house? Amen? And so, she got sent to her neighbors. Now, she was challenged already. But then she gets sent out into the community. Karen, can I please borrow some jars? What do you want it for? I don't know. What's your name?
Gina.
Gina, can you please lend me some jars? That wasn't the answer. Gina might have said, well, why? I don't really know. But the prophet told, oh, shut up. Go away. I always thought you were crazy. Now I'm sure. You're just a destitute widow. Get out. Go away. Jennifer, can I please have some jars? No. Boom. A few kind people gave her jars, obviously, because she got enough to fill her house. But the challenge here was, your community are going to know that you've got a need. How are you when you've got a need? Do you let your community of Christ know and ask them to help you? Nothing to be ashamed of, to ask for help when you need it. Here is faith in action on her part. And when you have a need, it's faith in action, believing that those people within your family here that you ask to help you are going to help you. And they are. There is such a connection that I'm experiencing amongst you, and a love and a care for each other. You guys are blessed. You're small in number, but you're blessed bigger than a church of 3,000. You know that?
Amen.
You are blessed. You're connected. God's connected you.
Yes.
Don't let anything break that connection, church.
Yes.
Some of you are going to get titchy with others at times. Get it right. Sort it out and stay connected.
Amen.
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 I know too many people that are out of church because so-and-so said something or looked at me the wrong way, or the chairs were the wrong color, or they didn't put down the carpet that I thought, and they're gone. Don't let it happen amongst you. You've got one of the most precious things in being connected to each other through Jesus Christ. It's such a blessing. Not every church is like you guys. That was a diversion by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And this lady, she's doing faith in action. She could have said, oh, it's too hard. I'm tired of being ridiculed. I'm tired of people knowing I'm weak and I'm got a need and I'm having to knock on their doors and I don't like doing it. Faith in action. It's crazy sometimes. Some of those neighbors would have thought she was nuts. And yet she did it. What's God told you to do that people might think you're a little bit nuts? Huh? Don't put it off any longer. Because doing faith in action that you have heard from God brings God's incredible results. Not only for you, like she experienced, but for the community. Don't put it off any longer. And I just want to ask a question. Where are your limits to the extraordinary? Ponder that. Ask God. What are my limits to the extraordinary? If you have any, repent of those and ask God to open up the extraordinary again. And you're going to see it. You're going to experience it. It's a reality. So she heard the word of the Lord. You know, hearing God is the door to open the answer. But faith is the key. Sorry, hearing God is the door and faith is the key to unlock it. You can hear God forever, but not do anything about what he says. But her action in going getting those jars was the faith to unlock his provision. And I believe there's someone, and you do have a need. Maybe one of you here, maybe the Facebook family. You have a need, and you know that God has said something to you to do. That actually is going to put you out on the edge where people are just going to shake their head and roll their eyes and go, oh no, not again. But when you take that faith and action step, God is going to unfold to you what he's planned. But yours is the next move. Go for it. Enjoy what he does. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was almost positive. And she could have had limitations at this point of embarrassment. She could have been too lazy to go and get those jars. They were big things. They were big dude things. And she would have had to help her work with her sons to get them into the house. She could have been too proud to let people know she had a need. She could have been a disobedient. She could have stopped at that point and went, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to make myself look silly. Fear of man has stopped the move of God in people's lives often. She could have stopped that supply right there. And she could have said, there's too many negatives in my life. I just can't get over it. I can't jump that hurdle. Let's just call this quits now. Take my boys and I'll just be at a loss for the rest of my life. No! She went ahead and did what the prophet told her, which was the word of the Lord. And you see, her life expanded. Her life grew beyond anything she would have imagined the day she went and cried out to the prophet. What do we as human beings do? We reduce our life to accommodate our fears. We reduce our life to accommodate our fears. And what's ruling then? Fears. Fear of man. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unscripted. If you walk through those fears, the provision of God, like for her, just pours and pours and pours and pours out. I'm walking in that provision now, myself. In a most amazing way. None of this made any practical sense. Get jars and take them into your house. What? Come on, prophet. And then start pouring the oil. But you know what? He told her, go inside and shut the door with you and your sons. There was a miracle about to be manufactured in private. Any miracles that you ever see or are involved in, that's not the first time that they were called out for by the people involved to the Lord. They are always manufactured in the place of prayer, in private. Anybody you see that does amazing things in God, they've spent hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years seeking God fasting and praying and looking for God's provision, looking for God's amazing power. Miracles are manufactured in private, and then they go into the public to be seen and enjoyed, and God gets the glory. Amen, amen, eh?
Amen.
And so, all of these things up to this point, there's many stages where she could have gone, it's all too hard, this is all too crazy. She could have walked away. But God was preparing her for what he wanted to do. And you know, God prepares us through many stages and many seasons when incredible things are about to happen. And some of you are in the preparation stage. And it's like you're thinking, how long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? I think the answer is as long as it takes. But he was preparing this lady's heart. Took her from desperation. Took her from that to stepping out into the community, or to hope first when she heard the word from the prophet, to stepping out in ridiculous, crazy faith, then to the private thing where she had to go inside with her sons, and she poured. That little jar of oil, I want to ask you, what does that represent for you? Does it represent your shattered life that you think is no use to man nor beast? Does that represent a gift that is in seed form in you of prophecy or a desire to lay hands on the sick and obey God's word that says lay hands on the sick? Does it represent a prophetic word you've had from somebody that says you're going to do this or you're going to do that? Does it represent that little two-lettered word, G-O, go? What does that little jar of oil represent to you? Maybe something different to everybody in this room. Does it represent a call and desire to preach and to be a powerful minister of the anointing? What does it represent to you? You can think about that. So she poured. Put yourself in that room with her and her sons. Here's this little jar of oil. Here's a whole room filled with great big jars. And the prophet has said to her, pour the oil. Like, yeah, right. This into that. That's a very bad division sum. Arithmetic doesn't work like this, right? Yeah. So, by faith. Blind, crazy, obedient faith. She starts pouring. And she pours. She pours. And she keeps pouring. And she's going, oh, look, that jar is quarter full. It's half full. Hey guys, it's getting full. Quick, bring me another one. And it says she kept pouring. It doesn't say she stopped and started. It says she kept pouring. Quick, bring another one. Put it under the spout. And she pours. And she's looking. And it's pouring. And it's going in. And it's pouring. And she's looking. And they're all getting excited. Whoa. What was the key? She started doing it. What was the key? She actually started doing it. My friends, start doing it. Start pouring out. So she continued. And the boys worked in unison with her. They did teamwork. Church, teamwork. Unity. Working together. If the boys had have started elbow jolting each other and saying, no, 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 I'm going to do it. You get out of the way. They would have knocked the jars over, wasted the oil. And you know what? They did it together. It was a team of three. Pouring, still pouring. See, we're still pouring here. They worked together. Unity is such a key to blessing. such an incredible key to you being blessed in your cell groups, in your church, in your family, in your outreaches to the community and the nations. Unity. And you know what? I reckon Mum was in charge. I don't think that those boys would have taken charge, because she said, bring me another jar. She's in charge here. God has put leadership for a reason, so that there's order. Your leadership here in this house, in this family, for divine order. Let them be in charge. Let them lead you and guide you. They've heard from God. So she's pouring. Then she says, oh, this one's full. Get me another one. And the guys say, oh, no, Mum, no more. Sorry, finished. And it stopped pouring. Like, finished. Oh, okay. Whoa. So many jars, big jars of oil from one little jar. What an incredible thing. And when God speaks and inspires us to do something, or gets us moving in a direction that is His direction, He does far more than we could have ever asked, thought, hoped, prayed, or dreamed for. Amen? Amen. I started preaching in about 1981. And I got pushed into it by my mentor and boss, who's an amazing woman of God, who is now 82 and my dear friend. I was her PA. And I'd go with her to conferences and events, and I would carry her briefcase in the days when we carry briefcases. We looked pretty important then. And I would iron her clothes, and I would pray with her and give her foot massages and stuff. Look after her. And then she said to me one day, I think you should do one of the messages in that conference. Like, no, not me. She made me do it. And from those tentative wobbly steps over 30 years, here we are. Nations, groups of people, large and small, all over the place. God has done far more with my little jar of oil that I poured out reluctantly at the beginning and just filled and filled and filled and filled and filled my life. I looked at an app on my phone the other day, and you probably got this, Pastor Harley, and it said it's the place where I put all my airline bookings and stuff. From 2018 until now, I've flown enough miles to go around the globe 11 times. You probably got something like that too. You tell me how many air miles you've got. I didn't have that in mind when I first of all said, okay. And I started pouring that little jar of oil so tentatively. God always does more than we expect. All He wants is willingness. All He wants is crazy faith that will say, yes, Lord. All He wants is us to follow His guiding and His leading and pour out where He shows us. And the interesting thing was, she poured until there was not another vessel to fill up. We're not in that position with our faith and with the name of Jesus. You just need to look outside the door and down the road and in the mall and in TJ Maxx. There are plenty of places to pour out. There are empty vessels all over the place. You will never run out of places to pour your jar of oil. You'll never run out of places to speak words of encouragement, or to bring prophetic words, or to bring words of knowledge and prayer to people in restaurants, in your workplace, in your neighbors. You will never run out. Isn't that cool? But she ran out because she ran out of places because they ran out of jars. And so she goes back to the prophet and she goes, well, I've got all this oil. And he says to her, well, go and sell it then. And you and your sons live on the proceeds of that. How cool. Her obedience got her abundance. Her obedience provided for her and her family. When the alternative was, don't do it, lose your sons and be destitute. How cool is that? God wants us to have that abundance. His plan is to bless you. His plan is for you to pour out and pour out and pour out and bless you as you pour. It really, really is. So then the next thing she had to do was sell the oil. Did that. Oh, I've got all these empty jars. I suppose I better take them back. So she knocks on Karen's door and says, I bought your jar back. And Karen goes, oh, it's oil. And? It came from? Oh, well, the prophet told me to pour my little jar of oil into here, and I kept pouring, and it just filled up, and it filled up, and the next one filled up, and the next one filled up, and the next one filled up, and God is so good. You see, the miracles and the abundance that God has blessed us with are not just for us, it's for the community. She had to tell. Some of those jars would have been ruined because before that they would have been water jars, and you can't put water in a jar that's had oil in it. She was going to get busted one way or another that she's had oil in these jars, and each person she took a jar back to would have said, what's this? Oh, it's oil. And guess what happened? Miracles are developed and given to us to enjoy, but to share, my friends. Any of you that have been healed in these meetings or any other time, go and shout it from the rooftops. I know you do. You tell people about your amazing healing. Keep it up, sister. Keep it up. Incredible. Don't just hide it. Don't keep it secret. Yeah. I'm not going to keep it secret. Thank you, everybody. That's awesome. And she was able to live off it, and she gave away the testimony. I hope you're challenged. You're so quiet. Maybe you're convicted. Maybe you've heard it all before. I don't know. But I know the Holy Spirit wants to work in our hearts. And what I would love us to do is put on some music in a moment, Santos, please. And I want to invite you to bring your little jar of oil to the altar and give it to God and say to him, whatever it is you want me to do with this, I'm going to pour it out. And your jar of oil will be different to mine and to each of us. But what it is to you, what you identify that little jar of oil as, will you come to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour it out because I want your name to be glorified. I want your name to be connected to miracles and power. And oh yeah, I'd love to be blessed as well, because I tell you, when you pour out, you are mightily, mightily blessed every time. Amen. So as
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.